Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. Let's begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Robert, or Pops, Monty, M-O-N-T-I, April 26th, 1946 to June 28th, 2025. A life remembered. Every college town needs a Bob Monty and his pizza. This article is written by Joey Wright, J-O-E-Y-W-R-I-G-H-T. One gift. Oops, let me make sure I get this correct. Here we go. One gift stood out to Joe DiPietro, that's D-I-P-I-E-T-R-O, when he was named president of the University of Tennessee system in 2011. A pair of frozen pizzas from Papa Del's, which he and his wife Deb tried and failed to find a replacement for after leaving Champaign many years prior. When we were in Gainesville, Florida, for 9 years, and then Knoxville, Tennessee, all we did was look for pizza that compared to Papa Del's, Deb DiPietro said. Nothing did. The other day, that happened out of... Let me go back. Nothing did, said Deb DiPietro. The other thing that happened out of those pizzas being delivered was, sorry, there's a little bit of formatting issue with the paper here. I'm so sorry. The other thing was, is they decided, the DiPietros decided, that they were going to see if they could create it themselves, says DiPietro, now retired, back in Champaign. And they never could, he said. We didn't even come close. And they were all pretty talented, and we tried hard. The DiPietro's love of Papa Del's pizza isn't unique. The restaurant, founded by Bob Monty in 1970, soon became a frequent stop for University of Illinois students, a pilgrimage for alumni who came back to town, and a staple for locals who grew up going to its various locations over the years. Mr. Monty died June 28th, at the age of 79. He was immediately a friend, architect Keddy Hudson said, noting he and Mr. Monty became close while working together on various locations of Papa Del's buildings across Champaign. It was just a wonderful experience all the way around, Hudson added. He was so loyal and such a good collaborator on that, and uncompromising. That showed in a lot of what he did. Mr. Monty paid attention to details and kept tradition in mind during 55 years in business in Champaign-Urbana, first on Wright Street before adding additional locations on Green Street and at Village at the Crossing in Southwest Champaign. Papa Del's eventually settled at a former Coca-Cola bottling plant on Neal Street in 2019, its sole location in operation today. He was always so appreciative of my abilities, and I tell you, I've never had a client that was that involved or that loyal or that appreciative, Hudson said. He sang my praises to whoever, just a great guy, and we'll miss him terribly. Mr. Monty's family, including daughter Andrea Seton, S-E-T-E-N, the current general manager of Papa Del's, has paid attention to an outpouring of support on social media in the days since his passing. Every day I think I've got it together and then I read those, Seton said. Someone from a million years ago reached out and says something and tells a story. We just didn't ever realize how many people he had touched or meant something to them. Mr. Monty's death occurred just days before his favorite holiday of the year. Obviously he was a fighter, Seton said. He wanted to live, but it's very Pops to go out with a bang right before 4th of July so he could watch the fireworks. He was pretty upset that he wouldn't see the fireworks where he was at. Now I guess he gets to watch the fireworks. Always smiling. Employees, contractors, and local officials alike all got to know Mr. Monty well by working alongside him. Bruce Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, knew him through the Illini Rebounders. Mr. Monty was a big Illini fan, and by helping make Papadel's Neal Street location become a local landmark. Bob was very passionate about the community, about Illinois sports, Knight said. He was always great to talk to when I'd see him around. He cared a lot about the community and tried to always do his best for them. Deb DiPietro was one of Mr. Monty's first employees, working as a server for a summer shortly after Papadel's was founded. He was always smiling, always congenial, Deb DiPietro said. We just really, really liked him. I liked working for him. There was no reason not to like him as a boss. Mr. Monty's attention to detail reflects in what customers order from Papadel's. One of the things we loved about it, especially when we were poor grad students, is you could get a pizza and it's almost as good warmed up because I think the flavor soaked in to the deep crust, Champaign County Judge Jason Baum said. Plenty of people kept their days at Papadel's in mind after hitting it big. When I was a UIUC student getting started in gambling, my friends and I had a standing agreement that when one of us hit a big score, we'd treat the others to a three-course Papadel's dinner of cheesy garlic bread, thin-crust pizza, and stuffed pizza, said U of I grad James Holzhauer, best known for his 32-game, 2.4-million winning streak on Jeopardy. Papadel's was one of the best parts of my college years. His baby, Papadel's, on the other hand, was never going to become a big player in the pizza game. A lot of places that have become that popular eventually franchise, Seton said, and he refused to franchise. He wanted to keep it his baby, keep it the way he wanted to do it. I think it's kind of unique that he was able to keep it how it was, but grow it. That's just the way Mr. Monty and his customers would have liked it. Every college town needs a Bob Monty and his pizza, Joe DiPietro said. And there's a really nice photograph in the paper of an older gentleman who is, there's a stuffed pizza that looks really delicious, and he has a pizza cutter. And it looks like there's an oven behind him. It looks like he just took it out of the oven and he's ready to slice it up. And he's wearing a yellow t-shirt that says Papadel's Pizza. The caption reads, Bob Monty slices into a deep dish pizza in the kitchen at Papadel's, since closed, Green Street location in Champaign. Monty died June 28th at the age of 79. That photo is taken collectively by the News Gazette. Head to our special U of I at 150 and beyond website, uofi150.newsgazette.com, for 45 Papadel's memories from alumni. And inside, Bob Monty's entry from daughter Andrea Seton. That's A6. That will be top of the morning. So we'll get to that in just a moment. And Champaign police are asking for the public's help in identifying a suspect in a June 29th shooting on Holly Hill Drive that has claimed the life of a second 16-year-old. We'll get to that coverage in just a moment. Next up, service with a smile. It's actually two large photos, one of a large group of people in kind of dark shirts, smiling for the camera, and another one of a woman standing in front of a wall of photographs and smiling. Service with a Smile, Faith United Methodist's Appalachia Service Project, coming up on year 40, continues to make a difference. Mika, M-I-E-K-E, Blackwell, and this year's crew worked wonders in Kentucky. We'll hear about that too in just a moment. Next up, University of Illinois Police award-winning officer quit over a hostile environment. Carter credited with solving the 2017 murder of Ying Ying Zhang. This article is written by Luke Taylor. and is based out of Urbana. He could be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. 5 years after receiving the most prestigious award available on campus, a longtime University of Illinois police officer has resigned, citing a hostile work environment, quote unquote. It is unknown whether Lieutenant James Carter's resignation is related to disciplinary action against him following an incident in the closing minutes of the Illini football team's win over Michigan last October that led to court summons for former linebacking great Dana Howard. In a brief letter to you by Police Chief Matt Bollinger, obtained by the News Gazette via open records request, Carter said the decision had not come easily, but it was necessary due to ongoing challenges related to the hostile work environment, a consistent lack of effective leadership, the department's inability and unwillingness to resolve conflicts, and the resulting toll on my mental and physical health. These issues have made it impossible for me to carry out my duties in a healthy and sustainable manner, Carter wrote. The News Gazette was unable to reach Carter for comment despite multiple attempts. U of I Police spokeswoman Abigail Kep said the department does not comment on personal matters. Carter, whose last day of employment was June 6th, had been a member of the department since 2011. He is well known for his role in the investigation into the murder of Yingying Zhang, a visiting Chinese scholar who went missing in 2017. Brent Christensen was found guilty of kidnapping Ms. Zhang while she waited at a bus stop in Urbana, taking her back to his apartment and killing her. Investigators found footage of Ms. Zhang entering a black Saturn Astra just before she went missing and believed that one of the 18 cars of that model in Champaign County must have belonged to her kidnapper. The license plate in the footage was not readable, and interviews with the vehicle owners were inconclusive. Carter was the first to notice the vehicle's right front hubcap had been damaged. In 2019, he told the News Gazette that it had just been a small detail in his mind until Detective Eric Stiverson texted him that evening something like, "Dude, you solved the case." Matching damage was located on Christensen's car, leading Stiverson and FBI special agent Anthony Manganaro to interview him that same night. The investigation ultimately resulted in Christensen's being sentenced to life in prison. In 2020, Carter, Stiverson, and telecommunicator Kenny Costa were awarded the Chancellor's Medallion for their work on the case. The medallion is the highest honor the U of I's Urbana-Champaign campus bestows and has only been awarded 10 times since it was established in 1996. 5 years later, on October 19th of last year, the Illini beat Michigan 21-7, and thousands of fans rushed the Memorial Stadium field to celebrate. Kep said that at 6 p.m., just as the game was about to wrap up, a spectator crossed the wall separating the seating area from the field after an officer instructed everyone in the area not to enter the field when the game ended. When the officer attempted to stop the spectator from entering the field area, Howard, who was nearby, reportedly initiated physical contact with the officer, Kep said. Other officers in the vicinity assisted as more spectators became involved, Kep said. Then one officer sustained minor injuries that didn't require medical treatment. Carter's exact involvement in the post-game incident is unclear, but he was suspended by the department in relation to the event. 8 months later, he sent his resignation letter to the department. Other documents obtained by the News Gazette show that Bollinger accepted the resignation 4 days later. On June 6, Carter's last day, Bollinger notified all employees of the Division of Public Safety. "We sincerely thank James for his many years of dedicated service and wish him the very best in his future endeavors." And there's one photograph that accompanies this article, and it's of a African-American man, the Chancellor Robert Jones, putting a medal on another African-American male, which is James Carter. The caption reads, Then University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones awards the Chancellor's Medallion to U of I Police Lieutenant James Carter in February of 2020 for his work on the Ying Ying Zhang murder case. That photo is provided, or taken, excuse me, by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. The story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Dodi Phipps, D-O-D-Y Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, Dodi Phipps, the matriarch of Faith United Methodist's splendid Appalachia Service Project, who passed away in April, would have been proud. This year's 31-member travel party, including 19 students from three area high schools, accomplished so much during an annual excursion that 10-year volunteer John Storsved described as a relationship ministry. He described it as relationship ministry with a little construction on the side. Traveling in five vans donated by area churches and accompanied by 17 participants from First United Methodist in Champaign, the Faith United group spent a week last month in Kentucky's Knott Country, K-N-O-T-T County, excuse me, Knott County. This is in Kentucky. Working on a slew of house projects that involve ramps, roofs, and siding. They returned home sore and satisfied, just as Dottie's true passion, or just as Dottie envisioned when she introduced the project some 40 years ago. Her obituary in part read, Dottie's true passion was serving Christ and others. She lived out her faith in her service to her community with her gentle, loving spirit and kindness to all. Faith's involvement in ASP, Faith's involvement in ASP is celebrated with an impressive display at the church that connects, or Phipps involvement, excuse me, in ASP is celebrated with an impressive display at the church that connects three generations of volunteers. It's a life-changing opportunity that puts the students out of their comfort zone, the trip's coordinator, Mika Blackwell, said. No matter where or how you live, all people are meant to be loved. And there's some photographs from the trip that are provided. One is of Dottie Phipps and John Storsved in 2015. Looks like they're about to drive off in a van that's provided. And another photo provided is of two people doing construction outside of a house on a sunny day. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso at JROSSOW at newsgazette.com. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, the Board of Education met in the St. Joseph Town Hall and received bids for a high school building, with the highest being $72,990 by a contractor in Danville. In 1975, a freeze on hiring and salary increases of 7% rather than the originally proposed 9.5% are being considered by the University of Illinois administration as it attempts to cut $2 million from the university budget. And in 2010, Provena Covenant Medical Center doesn't aim to be a taxpayer for long. The Urbana Hospital's parent company, Provena Health, said it will pay its $8.8 million Champaign County property tax bill in full, but also plans to seek an exemption on 2010 taxes that would be payable next year. In international history, today's highlights are on July 8, 2018, divers rescued four of the 12 boys who'd been trapped in a flooded cave in northern Thailand with their soccer coach for more than 2 weeks. The remaining eight boys and their coach were rescued over the next 2 days. That was in 2018. Also on this date, in 1776, Colonel John Nixon gave the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence outside the State House, now Independence Hall, in Philadelphia. In 1853, an expedition led by Commodore Matthew Perry arrived in Edo Bay, Japan, on a mission to seek diplomatic and trade relations with the Japanese. That was 1853. And lastly, in 1889, the first issue of the Wall Street Journal was published. The next headline reads, from the AMA, or American Medical Association, study, health of American children has been steadily worsening. This article is written by Laura Unger and Janelle Alessia for the Associated Press. The health of U.S. children has deteriorated over the past 17 years, with kids today more likely to have obesity, chronic diseases, and mental health problems like depression, a new study says. Much of what researchers found was already known, but the study paints a comprehensive picture by examining various aspects of children's physical and mental health at the same time. The surprising part of the study wasn't any single statistic. It was that there's 170 indicators, 8 data sources, all showing the same thing, a generalized decline in kids' health, said Dr. Christopher Forrest, one of the authors of the study published Monday in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has brought children's health to the forefront of the national policy conversation, unveiling in May a much-anticipated Make America Healthy Again report that described kids as undernourished and over-medicated and raised concerns about their lack of physical activity. But the Trump administration's actions, including cuts to federal health agencies, Medicaid, and scientific research, are not likely to reverse the trend, according to outside experts who reviewed Monday's study. The health of kids in America is not as good as it should be, not as good as the other countries, and the current policies of this administration are definitely going to make it worse, said Dr. Frederick Rivara, a pediatrician and researcher at the Seattle Children's Hospital and UW Medicine in Seattle. He co-authored an editorial accompanying the new study. Forrest and his colleagues analyzed surveys, electronic health records from 10 pediatric health systems, and international mortality statistics. Among their findings, obesity rates for U.S. children 2 to 19 years old rose from 17% in 2007-2008 to about 21% in 2021-2023. Next fact, a U.S. child in 2023 was 15 to 20% more likely than one in 2011 to have a chronic condition such as anxiety, depression, or sleep apnea, according to data reported by parents and doctors. Next fact, annual prevalence rates for 97 chronic conditions recorded by doctors rose from about 40% in 2011 to about 46% in 2023. Next fact, early onset of menstruation, trouble sleeping, limitations in activity, physical symptoms, depressive symptoms, and loneliness also increased among American kids during the study period. And next fact, American children were around 1.8 times more likely to die than kids in other high-income countries from 2007 to 2022. Being born premature and sudden unexpected death were much higher among U.S. infants, and firearm-related incidents and motor vehicle crashes were much more common among Americans age 1 to 19 than among those the same age in other countries examined. The research points to bigger problems with America's health, said Forrest, who is a pediatrician at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Kids are the canaries in the coal mine, he said. When kids' health changes, it's because they're at increased vulnerability, and it reflects what's happening in society at large. The timing of the study, he said, is completely fortuitous. Well, before the 2024 presidential election, Forrest was working on a book about thriving over the lifespan and couldn't find this sort of comprehensive data on children's health. The data sets analyzed have some limitations and may not be applicable to the full U.S. population, noted Dr. James Perrin, a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics, who wasn't involved in the study. The basic finding is true, he said. The editorial published alongside the study said while the administration's MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again movement, is bringing welcome attention to chronic diseases, it is pursuing other policies that will work against the interests of children. Those include eliminating injury prevention and maternal health programs, canceling investments in a campaign addressing sudden infant death, and fueling vaccine hesitancy among parents that may lead to a resurgence of deadly vaccine-preventable diseases, authors wrote. Officials from the U.S. Health and Human Services Department did not respond to a request for comment. Forrest said risks highlighted by the MAHA report, such as eating too much ultra-processed food, are real but miss the complex reality driving trends in children's health. We have to step back and take some lessons from the ecological sustainability community and say, let's look at the ecosystem that kids are growing up in, and let's start on a kind of neighborhood-by-neighborhood, city-by-city basis, examining it, he said. The next headline reads, no one hurt in two-car collision. There's a photograph of a red car and firemen standing around it, and it looks like it's on a corner on a sunny day, and it's completely flipped over. Champaign police responded to the intersection of Neal Street and Arcadia Drive around 3:13 p.m. for a report of a traffic crash where a vehicle was overturned. They found a two-vehicle collision in which a northbound vehicle had made an improper turn and was struck by southbound traffic, according to the Champaign Police Department. One person was transported to the hospital for observation following the collision. The driver who made the turn was issued a citation. Traffic was rerouted briefly to allow for cleanup of the scene, but all lanes were reopened by 4:05 p.m. That photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. And lastly, before we wrap up this section, let's take a quick look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, the high will be 88. Partly sunny, patchy fog early. Wednesday, the high will be 87, the low will be 69, partly sunny with 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Thursday, the high will be 88, the low is 66, mostly sunny with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Friday, slightly hotter, the high is 91, the low is 68, mostly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. And by next Saturday, the high will be 88, the low will be 71, mostly sunny with a 60% chance of thunderstorms. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. It's always a pleasure to read with you. Stay with me. I'll be reading part two of the News Gazette shortly. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.